Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about Tesla supplier Idra Group planning an event to show off their latest and biggest gigapress casting machine. Also got some Gigafactory updates, a little bit of news on FSD beta, more on the back and forth with the SEC, and a couple other items as well. A little bit less exciting day for Tesla stock today after most of the afternoon engaging with a battle for $1,100 per share. Tesla ended up closing just below that at $1,099.57, up 0.7%, but pretty significantly trailing the NASDAQ, which was up 1.8% on the day. All right, we don't have a ton of Tesla-related news today, but what we do have that's kind of interesting is a new open house invitation from Tesla supplier Idra Group. They build Tesla's massive Gigapress die-casting machines, and this morning they announced this open house event with a video premiering on their YouTube channel. Apparently, this event will take place over multiple days from June 6th through June 14th, and it will be used to preview the 9,000-ton Gigapress die-casting machine, with Idra Group saying, "Come and see the real thing." Now, although they call this an open house, like past Idra events, this is invitation only. They say that, quote, "Idra and the FSA are proud to offer a selected number of valued customers the chance to preview the 9000T Gigapress die-casting machine. We invite you to our open house event while you are traveling to Eurogas. Why not save some time and money? Extend your trip and travel through beautiful Italy in summer on your way to Nuremberg," end quote. Eurogas, by the way, that is June 8th through June 10th. That is the International Trade Fair for Die-Casting Technology Processes and Products. The rest of the invitation highlights that attendees will be among the first to preview their new 9000T Gigapress. They write, quote, "You have the chance to be up close and see firsthand a production machine that is destined to cast the biggest and most complex structural parts being manufactured today," end quote. This invitation, by the way, might look a little bit familiar. We had previously talked about an event that Idra Group had held back in December to show off some of their latest advances at that point in time. I know we were lucky enough to have at least one listener attend that event. Hopefully we'll get lucky here again with this 9,000-ton event as well. Now, as for this 9,000-ton casting machine itself, we don't know for sure if this would be destined for Tesla. Obviously, Tesla is one of, if not the biggest customer for Idra Group, and certainly seems to be working closely with them to push things to these sort of next levels. But the level that we have heard Elon Musk talk about explicitly for the Cybertruck on previous earnings calls was an 8,000-ton casting machine. Then last March, Idra Group announced that they had an order for an 8,000-ton casting machine from a leading new energy vehicle manufacturer. So maybe this 9,000-ton machine is for somebody else, maybe that target changed from 8,000 to 9,000, or maybe Tesla has ordered both an 8,000 and 9,000. Perhaps then a 9,000 would be used for a bigger vehicle like the Tesla Semi, or perhaps for the full underbody casting of a smaller vehicle. When trying to do a little bit of research on this, I did come across an article that mentioned that the parent company of Idra Group, LK Technology, had disclosed that one of their loyal customers, who's been using more than 200 units of LK machines, has ordered three sets of gigapresses, which are 6,800-ton, 8,000-ton, and 9,000-ton. Now, obviously, Tesla doesn't have 200 gigapresses from LK, but they could have other machinery from LK. And we know that Tesla's got an order for an 8,000-ton gigapress, and it seemed like that was kind of specifically developed for them. So if that same customer also has a 9,000-ton order, well, that could very well be Tesla. The other thing that is a little bit confusing here, though, is that last year, LK Group themselves, under the LK branding, had unveiled a 9,000-ton machine. So at least to me, it seems a little bit weird that the product cycle and unveiling wouldn't be synced from Idra Group on their 9,000-ton machine. Maybe this open house event can get us some answers to those questions. The other thing I found interesting when researching this is that LK is apparently working on a 12,000-ton die-casting machine. Apparently, they're working on that in cooperation with another company called Hongtu Technology, which the Wall Street Journal says engages in the development, design, production, and sales of precision aluminum alloy die-casting parts for automobiles and other industries. So perhaps for these 9,000-ton machines, maybe they'll be going to Hongtu, maybe Tesla, maybe somebody else. But either way, I think it's exciting to see the continued progress in casting technology. And I think that bodes well for Tesla, even if these aren't their machines. I mean, even for Idra, if they're onto the 9,000-ton machine and ready to show that off to the public, well, presumably they've probably completed the 8,000-ton machine as well, which doesn't necessarily speed up the Cybertruck, but definitely gives Tesla more time to work with that step. I mean, we've seen with Giga Texas, Tesla does not mind letting those cast pieces stack up as they test and fine-tune those processes. All right, moving on. Next, we've just got a quick check-in on Giga Berlin. It seems Tesla continues to make deliveries of German-made Model Ys, a few photos showing up on Twitter of cars leaving the factory. Then we've also got a report from Best in Tesla that Tesla is actually starting to make made-in-Germany vehicle deliveries outside of Germany, with a handful of made-in-Germany Model Ys being delivered today in Denmark. So very exciting to see that. And then the other thing I wanted to highlight with Giga Berlin is a comparison to a video shared out by GM for production of their Cadillac Lyriq. Now, this is particularly interesting because the start of the production for the Lyriq and the Berlin-made Model Y are basically happening at the same time. And for GM, the Lyriq is really their next generation electric vehicle using the Ultium platform. And we kind of get a side-by-side from this video comparing it to the drone video that popped up from Giga Berlin, which hasn't officially showed up from Tesla, but a screen capture version did show up on YouTube. I'll put a link to that in the description. It's really fun to watch that on its own, but then you've got this Cadillac Lyric production video, and you kind of flip back and forth, and it really creates a good visual of a lot of the things that we're always talking about here, and Tesla's disruption, the pace of innovation, the speed that Tesla's producing with. It's just silly at this point to sit there and look at videos like this and then say that legacy automakers have advantages due to their manufacturing prowess. Sure, maybe in some areas, but overall you watch these videos and it's kind of night and day in terms of the automation and the speed at which things seem to be happening. Now, this is just one instance of comparison, and to be fair, the Lyric is a new vehicle for GM versus the Model Y. A lot of stuff here being repeated from Fremont, from Shanghai, so perhaps not the most fair comparison, but even so, I think should be pretty eye-opening for maybe some people that are a little bit less convinced of where Tesla is at. That will obviously show through in the production numbers that we see in a year from now on the Cadillac Lyric versus the Made in Germany Model Y. All right, next up here, we've got another update from Morgan Stanley and Adam Jonas. Those notes just kind of keep on coming, this time about the stock split. We won't spend much time on this. It was just a quick one-pager, and most of the thoughts just reiterating stuff that we've already talked about from Morgan Stanley. But I did want to share my thoughts on the main point, which was on the stock split, saying, quote, "We simply cannot fundamentally explain how a stock split can add nearly 1.5 times the market cap of GM or one full Volkswagen's worth of market cap to Tesla almost instantly. We're thinking there may be bigger forces at work in the market on that one," end quote. So yesterday we talked a little bit about some of the fundamental things that can actually add value to the company from doing a stock split. Just should create a little bit more demand for the shares. That should help the price. But should that be worth on the order of $100 billion of market cap? Well, no, probably not. But I think this serves as a good reminder of what the market cap actually represents, and that's just whatever the last trade of Tesla stock was times the number of outstanding shares. I mean, we've seen when Elon sold, we've seen when Tesla's raised capital. Just because the share price happens to be at some level doesn't mean you could try to sell the entire company for that share price. As you start to sell more and more shares, those that want to buy are probably going to start to run out of capital. You're going to have to lower the price to find more buyers. So the market caps that we talk about and how they connect to the share price, those things are important, but it is worth just remembering that context, especially for comparisons like this where you're saying, oh, in one day Tesla gained more in market cap than the entire worth of this other company. Sure, I guess not technically incorrect, but in reality, it's more just reflecting the very short-term opinion of a very small set of a small set of the total outstanding shares of Tesla, and that subset being more interested in buying and holding shares than selling shares that day. I'm not confident that I'm fully explaining my thoughts on this very well, but hopefully that makes some sense. Anyway, next up here, we've got an update on FSD Beta. Elon saying today that FSD Beta should be available in Europe for left-hand drive this summer, right-hand drive a few months later. These dates depend on regulatory approval. So we had talked earlier about Elon kind of mentioning off the top of his head a rough timeline for FSD Beta in Europe at the Berlin delivery event. This tweet from Elon is actually a little bit more specific and a little bit earlier than what he seemed to imply at that delivery event. Doesn't mean I'd put a whole lot of weight into it, but I suppose that is more positive than negative. The other thing on FSD Beta that I wanted to briefly talk about is the thing that we kind of glossed over yesterday, and that was about Toronto being sort of geofenced out of FSD Beta in Canada right now. That was kind of interesting to see. We haven't seen Tesla do a whole lot of that. Elon saying that it was because it wasn't handling the streetcars there well yet. I think there's a couple things we can take away from that. One, on the negative side, obviously any geofencing kind of disappointing for people that want to use that technology in that area. And of course, Tesla has talked about how their approach is supposed to be able to limit and eventually not have any geofencing. I do think that is a very important differentiator for Tesla, certainly against other ADAS systems like Super Cruise. You can make the comparisons against Cruise and Waymo as well, though the functionality is very clearly different there. So I do think the lack of or minimal geofencing is important for Tesla, but if Tesla can actually speed up their progress to a level 3, level 4 type of system with some geofencing, even if that is limiting just some features, then that is something that has the potential to be pretty exciting. I mean, there's huge value if Tesla felt confident in a level 4 system on highways only, even if then you have to stay active and alert using the FSD beta in cities. That would be geofencing, but if there are certain areas where Tesla has higher levels of confidence on the path to a true level 4 everywhere, level 5 system, then the sooner they're able to enable things like that, the better, and geofencing may allow that to happen sooner. So I don't think it's as simple as geofencing good, geofencing bad. I think it's very context-based, and it'll be interesting to see how Tesla approaches that now that they're starting to do at least a little bit more of that. All right, last couple of things here for today. First, we've got a reply from Tesla and Elon Musk in that dispute with the SEC over the going private settlement. As I had said before, I'm not going to follow this as closely anymore just because it's gotten into a lot of legalese. I think we both understand both sides' point of views here, and we're really just going to end up waiting for the interpretation from the courts. But there is something pretty interesting in this reply from Tesla, and that is that they cite Eminem's song, Without Me, where some of the lyrics there are, the FCC won't let me be or let me be me, so let me see. Except Tesla there has subbed in the SEC for FCC. Basically, they're bringing it up to support the idea that Elon Musk has the right to free speech based on the First Amendment. I'm sure they're also aware, as Tesla tends to be, that this will generate a little bit of press for them. That might help garner just a little bit of extra public support. All right, last item for today then, Lotus has unveiled their all-electric, what they're calling hyper SUV, the Eletre. This plans to have a 100 kilowatt hour battery capacity and a maximum driving range on the WLTP test cycle of about 373 miles or 600 kilometers, probably closer to about 330 miles on the EPA test cycle. Obviously, this won't be a high volume vehicle, but they do say that the first deliveries will begin in 2023. One quick final note then, I do have to apologize. Yesterday, I accidentally said that 53 acres was about 200,000 square feet. Obviously, misplaced the decimal on that. It's more like 2 million square feet. So apologies for that. And then I also apparently learned in the YouTube comments that I forgot to say end quote on one of my quotes. So as not to get stuck in an infinite quote, let me just do that right now and say end quote. So that is now resolved. But as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, March 30th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.